We are starting a brand new series called Dare to Believe 2016. We're excited for 2016. Come on. Who am I are excited for the financial provision that awaits for you this year? Okay. Who am I excited for the spiritual breakthrough that awaits for you this year? All right. Who are excited for your future husband who's coming this year? All right. Great. By faith. Okay. Husband and wife. 2016. Okay. Lord, gusto ko sa February 29. 2016, Lord, kasi this year, leaf year. We're just so excited for year 2016. This year, we declare this over everyone here tonight, that this is going to be the year of the Lord's favor for all of us. Amen. Yeah. All right, so we claim that by faith. As we start, it's but fitting for us to start this year by having this series called Dare to Believe. And I know that, you know, this church is not foreign whenever we talk about something like this. Because if you remember, back in 2014, when we had our church anniversary, the theme that we have was for us to believe. Meaning to say, we wanted to believe God for the impossible. Amen. Okay, and our prayer at that time was that whatever it is that God has in store for us individually and corporately as a church community, basically all of us would come before God and just basically thank Him for His faithfulness to us. And that is why we are not really revisiting, but this is what we have this year. We're basically rallying everyone to believe. To believe God for great things for us this year. Now look at this one. Whenever this subject comes to mind, I want you to catch this for a while. If the things that you are believing God for, I mean the great things that you're believing God for this year, are basically capable in the confines of our capabilities, it's something that we can do on our own, then that gives us a picture that there's no exercise of faith in that. It is just the exercise of the human capacity. So whatever it is that you are believing God for, make sure it's something that is grand and way beyond your own capacity. All right? So you're believing God, maybe for some of you here, you're believing God for healing. Okay? You're believing God for a financial breakthrough. Maybe you want to pay off some debt. So that is what we're believing God for this year. Okay? As we start this series called Dare to Believe. I want to highlight the word dare right here. I was talking with someone a while ago this morning. He gave me a good illustration. He said, you know, Archie, when you talk about dare to believe, sabi niya, parang rowing raw yan. It's like you have two paddles. You cannot just believe and believe. You need to dare to believe God for more great things for your life. That is what we are rallying everyone to do. Whenever you look at this word dare right here, let me just bring everyone to the dictionary for a while. Dare simply means to what? To have the courage to contend against. Okay, to venture or to try. Whenever you talk about venture for the business people here, you know what I'm talking about. You're talking about something that you haven't tried before, but you're venturing into it. Are folks with me? So meaning to say, okay, most likely this 2016, there are things that God would want to reveal to you that He would want you to venture into. All you have to do is step out in faith. And that is why we want to rally everyone to dare to believe God for the impossible. You know what? Whenever we look at the word dare, we also know that, you know what? Daring into doing something would always involve risk. But I want us to understand it's a different ballgame for us as Christians simply because we have what we call faith. And the Bible says faith is what? It's being sure of what we hope for and being certain of what we don't see yet. Okay? So meaning to say if your husband or your wife is something that you don't see yet, you are certain that they are just there waiting for you. They're just around the corner. Ayan. Friends, I want us also to understand that, you know what, whenever we look at the word there, this has nothing to do with your personality. You know what? Sometimes we feel so limited because of our strengths finder. I mean, it's a blessing for us to understand our themes, our strength, how God wired us. But to some degree, sometimes it hinders us because we feel like, I'm just like this, I'm just like that, I'm not fit for something like that. I want you to understand this. Faith would basically transcend all personalities. Like faith transcends every single strength or themes that we have as human beings. That's why God would want us to get into His Word, get directives from Him, and start applying it in faith. All right? Start applying it in faith. And remember, there's a story about two fishermen. Okay, this guy, you know, two fishermen, they were good friends. Anyone here loves fishing? Baez is such a nice place to fish. I've done that once. Guess what? I caught nothing. You know, fishing is like a hobby for some of us. Sina Patrick kasi, sina Blaze. Ano yung hobby nyo? Kwan lang kami golf. Anyway, these guys went out fishing. And the problem was that while they were out fishing, the other guy noticed that his friend was doing something different. He noticed that whenever his friend would catch a big fish, he would unhook it and throw it back to the sea. And whenever he would get a small fish, he would unhook it and put it in his bucket. He would do that again and again. He would throw the big fish out, bring the small fish in. So finally, you know, the friend was scratching his head, was like, what are you doing? I mean, I don't get it. You know, I've noticed at the end of the day, he talked to his friend, I've noticed that whenever you catch a big fish, you throw it out on the sea. And then whenever you catch a small fish, you put it on the bucket. What's wrong with you? His friend told him, you know what? The reason why I'm throwing out the big fish is because gamay ra mong kalaha sa balay. I only have a small pan, pang scrambled egg lang yung pan namin. Pang individual scrambled egg lang. And it's quite amusing to have this story, but I tell you what, to a certain degree, some of us, that is our attitude. I want you to understand this, friends. You have here, you are worshiping a God who is a father to you, who is more than willing to dispense his blessing on your household. But here you are hindering yourself from being a recipient of that blessing because of your small thinking. A lot of times, God would giddy up in wanting to bless us with this and that, but because of our own attitude, we tell God, Lord, I cannot amount to something like this because this is only my God. Ito lang apelido ko, Lord. This is just the house I live in. Sometimes we limit ourselves by limiting God for that matter. And it's something that needs to be broken this year. Okay, it's something that needs to be broken this year. Spiritually seeking, you will have to believe God for a bigger kala. Amen. As we start this series called Dare to Believe, what we're going to have here is that we will be looking at different characters in the Bible. It's going to start here tonight. It will run for 5 Sundays, 5 long Sundays. Different personalities, different people. We're going to look at the life of Caleb. But for now, we're going to look at one guy, and we're going to look at his faith for deliverance. That is what we're going to look at here tonight. Kindly turn your Bibles with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to read verse 1 to 12. I'm reading from the ESV. It says here, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, hey, Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is Engedi. Verse 3, then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Next verse. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, here's his prayer. He said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. After which he said, did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you, Lord, in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and with whom they had avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Last verse. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All right, now what we have here is a story of a king for the first installment of this series called Dare to Believe. And this guy is called King Jehoshaphat. And, you know, some guys a while ago told me, Archie, the picture that you place is not King Jehoshaphat. He said, that's King Solomon. Sabi ko, alam mo ba itsura ni Solomon? O hindi. O, this is Jehoshaphat yan. King Jehoshaphat was basically the fourth king of the land of Judah. I was typing this last night. His name is quite lengthy, Jehoshaphat. Anyone named Jehoshaphat in this room? Wala naman siguro, no? So we wanted to call him Jehu, pero there's another Jehu in the Bible. And I don't find it good to call him Sapat, right? So let's just call him Jehoshaphat. Now, this guy right here, he has a problem, okay? I just want to ask this for a while. Is there anyone of you here who has encountered a problem in the past 5 days? Oh, sabihin natin the past 5 months, at least you've encountered one problem lang. Meron naman. Meron ba? Kasi pag hindi, heaven na to. You know, all of us here, I mean, we are familiar whenever we talk about problems because basically at the end of the day, all of us have encountered different levels of problems in our life. So the same thing with this guy right here, even as a king, even as a powerful king, there was a point in his life when he had trouble, he had problem. He was in a terrible and in a very tragic situation. The problem of Jehoshaphat was this one. There was a coalition against him. Okay, meaning to say, different groups of people were about to attack him. Has that ever happened to you in high school? You're the only guy in the classroom that nobody in the class would want to speak to? Nangyari ba sa inyo yun? Ayaw ka bigyan ng paper during final exam or during quiz. Ibig sabihin lang nun, kayo yung pinakamatalinong estudyante sa classroom. Tama ba? Ganun ba yun, di ba? Hindi binibigyan ng papel? Talala ko, when I was in high school, you know, I have this group of friends. Well, some of them are good, a lot of them are bad. There was a time that, you know, we went out of our campus and I didn't know that they have enemies. So ako naman, walang kamukha. Siyempre, good boy ako. Sabi ko sa inyo last week, cute lang ako. So, mga friends ko, ang dami nilang kaaway, hindi ko alam. I didn't know that they have enemies. So I went out with them. I realized while we were walking, just like Jehoshaphat, there was a coalition of different campus students. We're waiting for them. We're waiting for us because I was involved with them already. So I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? So I don't wanna show them that I'm scared. So what I did, okay, pumara ko ng tricycle. Huwi na ako, bro. I'll see you tomorrow. This was the problem of Jehoshaphat. In fact, I wanna show you a map right here. Look at this one. There were three groups of people who were basically wanting to attack him. I mean, we're not just talking about one nation. We're talking about the Moabites, the Ammonites. Okay? We're talking about a group of people who are plotting and planning out the attack of Judah. Now, I don't know with you, whenever, if you were in the position of Jehoshaphat, you would actually panic. Hello? Hindi ba? Hindi kayo matatakot? Tingnan natin. Baka mangyari yan. It happened to me and he was already panicking. And when I was reading this last night, I was like thinking, Lord, what could be a good picture that would encapsulate you what Jehoshaphat was really feeling at that moment? Because you know, it's actually good to read your Bible and then whenever you read a certain story in the Bible, that you really try to emphasize the situations that's basically happening in the lives of the different characters there. So I wanted to ask God a picture that would really encapsulate. And ito yung bigay sa akin ni Lord. Pag Google ko, ito yung lumabas. The cat's last selfie. Pwede! That's a Rottweiler. So basically, the cat doesn't have any choice. Selfie na lang, at least may memory. So I feel like that was the situation of Jehoshaphat. I felt like, my goodness, I'm talking about three groups of people, a great horde, a great multitude going after me. So he was already panicking. He was basically in what? He was basically in trouble. You know why he was panicking or why he was really troubled during this time? It was because, it's quite funny, you know why? Because just 2 chapters before chapter 20, and that is chapter 18, 2 chapters, D1. Okay, 2 chapters, this chapter 18. Just 2 chapters before this, you would come to understand that Jehoshaphat almost died. So look at this one. In chapter 18 of this same book in 2 Chronicles, it says here, when the chariot and commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they thought, hey guys, this is the king of Israel. And what they did was that they turned to attack him, but Jehoshaphat cried out and the Lord helped him out. So that was the situation of Jehoshaphat. He was like saying, man, I just came off a battle, I almost died, and right now there are 3 groups of people who are wanting to attack me. Has that ever occurred to you? Kababayad mo lang ng water district. Lord, nabayaran ko na yung water district. Thank you, Lord. Nabayaran ko na yung sky cable. Pag uwi mo sa bahay, may Noreco pa. Dumating yung Noreco bill. It's something like that. He was still licking his wound and here comes another problem. Problems after problems after problems. Okay, it felt like, man, this is way too much. Alright? I have a friend. I don't have his picture here because I don't want you to search for him. But his name is Ed. And this guy was a friend of ours, me and my wife, and there was a time that we were having fellowship, we were just eating in our home, and one time, there was a tragedy in the family. Of course, this is a little too extreme, this specific example. There was a tragedy that happened in their family because their daughter, their very cute daughter, died. So imagine if you're a parent and your daughter died. It's really something that really kept them down during that time. What was worse was that right after his daughter died, a couple of months after that, his wife actually died. Then, you know, when those situations would begin to happen, there's basically no words of comfort except to just really stand with them. And the good thing, though, is that because of that situation, he got to know and have Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. We call him the modern-day Job. But right now, he has recovered, he has remarried, and we're basically happy for him. Now, going back to the story of Jehoshaphat, look at this one. In verse 2, it says here, some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar. It's like saying, hey, Jehoshaphat, they're actually near. Okay, who among you here? Your problems are something that you cannot predict. Hello? Your problem just happens, and sometimes, or a lot of times, they catch you off guard. Okay? So that's basically what was happening here. Maybe for some of us, you haven't prepared for the problem financially. You haven't prepared yourself emotionally. You have to prepare emotionally for a problem. Hello? Because it would really, you know, cause you to be sleepless at night, for that matter. Look at these verses right here. There are different facets at which you could really understand this story. But for the benefit of our discussion here tonight, I just want to, you know, summarize his problem in two words, okay? And the words are this one, great multitude. That was his problem. There's just a great multitude that was going against him. Now, if you want me to translate this to all of us here this evening, I am not saying, most likely I would assume that there's none of you here who's being attacked by the Ammonites or Moabites or the Edomites. There's none of us who are being attacked that way right now in our generation. But I think there are some of you here who are encountering a great multitude of problems with a great magnitude. A great multitude with a great magnitude. Meaning to say, these problems are causing you to lose sleep at night. These problems cause you to panic. Okay? Somehow your faith gets shaken. May mga ganun ba? Minsan your faith gets shaken when you encounter problems. It happens to all of us. Now, I don't know how that would translate to you, but maybe for some of you here, maybe for the students, maybe you're talking about your grades. Okay? Yung grades nyo na parang yung dare to believe na lang, nakaganyan na lang yung grades nyo, parang isang tulak na lang, zero na. Okay? Kasi meron kang 0.5. Bagsak pa rin. Maybe for some of us here, you are challenged with a huge debt for that matter. Okay? Maybe for some of you here, you're married, but you are unhappy with your marriage. For that matter, maybe for some of you here, you are jobless for the past how many months? These are the common problems that we have. Maybe for some of you here, you have bully classmates and you just really hate them for bullying you. Okay? You have bully classmates. Maybe for some of you here, your problem is that you have a failing health. Okay? You have a failing health. Maybe for some of you, you don't like your income. Okay? And you don't like your boss. So, pili na lang kayo ano yung gusto niyo mas malaking problema doon. Maybe for some of you here, you're still single. Now look at this one. For some people, being single at this point is still a blessing. I included that there because I just read in Sunstar this morning that there's actually a 35-year-old guy who killed himself because he was still single. I mean, this is something that we could laugh about, but the truth is, this is a problem for some people. Okay, they just cannot accept the fact that, you know what, man, I'm getting older and older, I need a partner in life. It is a problem. Now look at this one. The normal human response for all of us here in this room, when we have a problem, sino sa inyo dito? Pag may problema kayo, masaya kayo. May problema ako bukas. More, give me more. I haven't met a person who gets so happy when they have problems. Okay? Never. Pag meron man, sino ulo yun? But the normal human response when we have problems is the response that Jehoshaphat had. Look at this one. It says here in verse 3, then Jehoshaphat was afraid. And it's normal for him to be afraid because of all of these problems. When there's quota that needs to be met tomorrow, somehow you are a little shaken. Okay, you are afraid that you're not going to meet it for that matter. Whenever we talk about fear or being afraid, I want us to understand that to a certain degree, fear is actually normal for all of us. Okay, there's basically two types of fear. The first one is the kind of fear that we have normally, and that kind of fear would enable us to determine different threats in our lives and for us to prepare for those threats. The next kind of fear is the illogical one, which happens when a certain kind of fear is being what? Inflated, for that matter. Inflated and becomes overwhelming for you. For me personally, I'm still contending with the fact that, you know, I have to be more daring when it comes to roller coasters and stuff like that. I just can't. Meron akong fear of heights. Okay, meron sa inyo dito, may takot kayo sa ipis, di ba? Iba sa inyo, may takot kayo sa ano? Ano yung mga fear nyo? Sana hindi sa seatmate niya, no? Sometimes we're afraid of dying. Different kinds of fear. And basically, this was what Jehoshaphat was experiencing. Here's the problem, okay? You guys wanna know the problem? Or let's go straight to the solution. Problem muna. Okay lang, problema muna, ha? O sige, here's the problem. A lot of times, wag na lang a lot of times, sometimes, okay, sometimes, kasi victory to eh, alam ko mga okay kayo. Sometimes, okay, in humility, sometimes when we encounter problems, we try to solve our problems on our own. And a lot of times, when we don't consult God, we try to sort things out on our own. Basically, if you're doing it and you are afraid, you end up sinning all the more. For example, you're coming into 2016 and you're afraid of not having enough money. There are a certain group of people that I get to talk to, they feel like they don't have enough money. And when you don't have enough money, what do? You try to work harder. It's actually nothing good, nothing wrong with that. It's good for you to actually work hard, but not at the expense of your health. If not, sometimes there are people who bring it to a certain extreme wherein, because they want more money for themselves, they try to cheat or steal for that matter. Maybe for some of us here, you fear that you won't have more friends this 2016. So what you will do is that you will try to please people. And you know for a fact, it's difficult if you are a man pleaser. Okay, because a lot of times if you're a man pleaser, you would begin to what? Compromise your standards. Different fears, okay, there are basically different repercussions for us. Now, what I want us to catch here is how Jehoshaphat responded in the face of fear. Okay? How he responded in the face of fear. I want you to imagine your fears for a while. Just imagine the things that you're afraid of as you come into 2016. Meron ba? Okay, just imagine those things for a while. Now look at this one. Here's what Jehoshaphat did. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 3, it says here, then Jehoshaphat was afraid, and it says here, and set his face to seek the Lord. In the face of fear, friends, in the face of fear, Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. Okay? He pursued God in the face of fear. Now look at this one. The word set here, I want to look at the word set. It says here, then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face. What does it mean? It simply means to say that in the face of fear, he fixed his eyes and his gaze on the Lord Jesus Christ. He fixed his eyes and gaze on God himself. Now, I just think that for some of us here, this 2016, this might be a good exercise for you. That this year, you will have to learn how to lock in into God's presence and learn to lock out the world. Learn to set your face and seek God for that matter. And it says here, he didn't just set his face, okay, his gaze on God. It says here, he set his face to seek the Lord. Okay, he set his face to seek the Lord. Now, if we look at the word seek right here, okay, look at the word seek for a while. The original Hebrew for the word seek is the word daras, which means to frequent. Okay? The word daras simply means to frequent. Now, look at this one. When you are seeking someone, you frequent their place. Right? If there are people who have utang on you, you keep on seeking them, that's why you frequent their place. If you're here and you are courting someone, di ba mga moms and daddy, di ba yung kino-court niyo yung wife niyo, naalala niyo yung mga panahon na yun? When you are seeking someone, you frequent their place. Wala kang pakialam kahit maraming lambok sa labas ng bahay nila, 2 a.m. na, wala kang pakialam. You would frequent their place. Why? Because you keep on seeking them. So to seek someone basically is that you are going to what? Frequent their place. And that's basically what Jehoshaphat did. He frequented the place of God, the presence of God for that matter. Now, look at this one. What is fascinating here is that there is an interchangeable meaning for the word daras in English. All right? Are folks ready for this? There is an interchangeable meaning for the word daras. As much as daras means to frequent, daras also means to a certain degree to worship. Okay? Daras means to frequent. It also means to worship. And it actually makes sense. You know why? Because you frequent the object of your worship. You frequent the object of your worship. You want to know who your God was in 2015, you would know it by the frequency of your visit in that someone or that something. The frequency of our visits basically determine or is a good gauge as to who our God is. And friends, I want us to catch this 2016. I want us to understand that you will never be deficient of that which you frequent. You will never be deficient of that which you frequent. For example, if you frequent the grocery, you will never run out of food. Hello? If you frequently read the newspaper, you will never run out of information. If you frequent your gossiping friends, you will never run out of broken relationships. But if you frequent God, you frequent John chapter 3 verse 16, you will never run out of a realization of how much God loves you. You frequent the object of your worship. At the end of the day, that was Jehoshaphat did. And that basically spelled the breakthrough for him and the land of Judah. I want to outline just a couple of things here this evening. And I want us to catch this. I feel like, you know, this is something that would really be beneficial for everyone. Here's what we're going to do here tonight. Introduction lang yun kanina. Na joke lang. I'm about to end. I want to outline for us here this evening the pattern of prayer of Jehoshaphat. Because when he encountered all of his troubles, you know what he did? He went before God and started praying to God. He started praying to God. And I feel like the key in his breakthrough is basically found in this prayer. I want to outline his prayer. Look at this one. Here's what he did. First one, he started declaring who God is. That's what he did. After which, he started saying what God did. The third one is no longer part of the pattern of his prayer, but this is already the response of God. God stated basically what he will do. I'm going to look at the first one for a while, who God is. Here's what Jehoshaphat did. Look at this one. In verse 6, here's what he said. Oh God, he said, oh Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. That's what he said. Look at this one. He came before God. I want you to catch this. And he didn't lay down his petition right away. He didn't come before God and ask God, Lord, the Edomites, Lord, the Moabites. He didn't act that way. He said, Lord, you are the God of the heavens. He started declaring who God is. I feel like for some of you, this 2016, you will have to declare who God is over your problems. He started saying, are you not the God of the heavens? He's like saying, Lord, my perspective is different from your perspective. My vantage point is different from your vantage point. He started declaring who God is, and then he started saying, you rule over all the kingdoms in all nations. He started acknowledging the lordship of God. He started acknowledging who God is. And after which, this is quite interesting, after which, he started saying what God did. Nagpapanik na to, ha? Pero may panahon pa siya para sabihin kay Lord, Lord, this is who you are. You are the God of the heavens. You are mighty. You are powerful. And he started enumerating, okay, the different things that God did. Look at this one, verse 7 and 9. It says here, did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And after which he said, did you not? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, so the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. What was he doing? What in the world was Jehoshaphat doing? You know what he did? He started coming before God, and he basically brought out the resume of God. Lord, I've enumerated the things that you have done in our land. Now, come to imagine this with me for a while. Does Jehoshaphat realize that he's talking to God? Is he saying that God is forgetful? Lord, in case you forgot who you are, in case you forgot who I am, who your people are, in case you forgot what you have done for us, I just want to remind you, Lord, he is not reminding him. He's not reminding God. He's basically telling God everything, every mighty things that God did. Why? It is for him to build up his faith. It's not for God, it's for him. Lord, ginawa mo to noon, kaya mo tong gawin ngayon. I want you to understand this, friends. God did not bring you to this far and drop you off right here. Have you ever realized why David had the confidence against Goliath? He had the confidence against Goliath. Why? Because he has a long history of what? Of slaughtering lions and bears. And facing Goliath is nothing because he has a history with God. A rich and deep history with God. I want you to understand this, friends. This 2016, it would be good for you to try to sit down and contemplate, go back to your journals, and try to imagine and revisit the many great things that God has done for you. There's something that God has done for you in October 10, 2011. There's something that God has done for you back in 2001. You have to revisit those things. I don't know with you, but to a certain degree, whenever I would drive around, there's a certain nook or a corner that I would just smile because I would remember, man, that's the place where I did my one-to-one. That's the place where I first received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Minsan, pag dumaan ako sa restaurant na to, sa coffee shop na to, natatawa ko kasi dito ako nakorek ng leader ko. Hiyang-hiya ako noon na nakorek ako kasi grabing attitude ko. I want you to understand this, friends. You have your own histories with God. You have your own history with God. I tell you what, those are like shrines or altars that only you and God knows. Sometimes you get into a certain place and then you smile. People don't know what you're smiling, but God knows why you're smiling. Because that was the place where it caused breakthrough to happen into your life. It would be good to build up our faith. Anong problema mo this year? Pera? Relationship? Sinave ka nga ni God? Ano pang imposible sa'yo? We all have a rich history with God. And God would want to basically revisit those places. Whenever I would drive up, going to Valencia, I would look at a certain place. Man, this is where I first, you know, started speaking in tongues. And it's like an altar right there. God would begin to speak and remind you, Archie, that's how faithful I am to your life. The God that we worship is a faithful God, amen. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand this. His faithfulness is not dependent on your faithfulness. He remains to be faithful because that is his very nature. Come to imagine if you are faithful. How much more will the God of the heavens show off for us? The next thing that happened is something that would really blow our minds off. Now what we have here is the response of God. Can you imagine this? The God of the heavens would begin to respond to us, to our prayers and petitions. Look at this one. Let's look at what God will do. Look at this one. It says here in verse 15, now this is no longer Jehoshaphat. Now this is God replying to him. Here's what it says. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde. Guess what? For the battle is the Lord's. For the battle is not yours, but it is God's. Aren't you glad that you worship an in-behalf God? He acts on our behalf. He does miracles on our behalf. He comes forward on our behalf. That is why He is our banner. This is the God that you worship. At the end of the day, come to imagine this with me. There's like billions of people out there. For God to tell you this, Archie, okay lang yan, weepy. Gusto kong marinig mo, the battle is not yours, it is mine. Folks, the battle that you're facing right now, I hope you put this in the right perspective. The battle that you are facing and the battle that you're going to face in this lifetime, guess what? The God that you worship has taken all of those things on His shoulder. That's why I will forever be grateful to the God that I serve. He asked on my behalf. We were never fashioned to carry it on our own. We were fashioned by God to have a deep communion with Him and cast the burden on Him. Amen. For the battle is not yours, but it is God's. If you've noticed, I didn't include a verse, but I feel like I wanted to put it in the last part because I feel like this is the game changer. In everything that Jehoshaphat said, there was a certain line that was a game changer. I feel like this line really caught the attention of God. Are you like that sometimes? You know, people are talking to you and then there's just one line that really captures your attention for that matter, that really captures you. Look at this one in verse 12. This is what Jehoshaphat said. Our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. Here's what he said. Lord, we do not know what to do. Folks, listen carefully. When was the last time you told God you don't know what to do? Lord, I don't know what to do with my husband. Lord, I don't know what to do with my wife. Lord, I don't know what to do with my kids. Lord, I don't know what to do with my boss. Lord, I don't know what to do with the single, you know, with the money, the little money that I have. But it says here, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord. These lines right here would basically capture the heart of God. You know why? Because I feel like your breakthrough lies in a position of humility. The moment you tell God that you stop trusting in your own self, in your own capacity, in who you are, in your family name, in the money that you have, the moment you stop trusting in those things and start telling God, Lord, there's nothing I can do with my situation. I'm desperate for you, Lord. Then those are the times that, you know, God would start to act on our behalf. He didn't save face for that matter. He was a king. Can you imagine this? For a king to do something like that? Can you imagine the repercussion of that to his people? If his people heard him say, I don't know what to do. Huh? King ka namin, di mo alam ang gagawin mo? That could be repercussion. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. At the end of it, it's just like telling God, Lord, here I am. This is my situation. I don't know what to do. I hope that we will be like that. That we will always come before God and tell God, Lord, I need your help over this. You know what's amazing here is that I want to show you a picture right here. You know what's funny here? I want to end with this. With all the problems that they were experiencing, imagine, once again, the coalition. He started praying to God. He started asking God. He started declaring who God is. Started stating everything that God did. God responded to them. The next day, you know what he did? He formed a group of people in the battle lines. He was ready for war. You know what the problem is? His frontliners are musicians. His frontliners are the music team. Pambihira, anong dala nyo? Gitara. Anong dala mo, bro? Simbas? Anong pampukpok mo sa ulo? Is this your strategy, King Jehoshaphat? You want them to get killed for that matter? Look at what he said in verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Meaning you will not be shaken. Believe his prophets and you will succeed. Believe the prophetic words that were spoken about you. And it says here, look at this one. And when he had taken counsel with the people, here's what he did. He appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went out before the army. They went out before the army. And their frontliners were music people, were singers. What do we catch here, friends? What do we catch here? We can worship our way towards breakthrough, amen. We can worship our way towards breakthrough. At the end of the day, it doesn't lie on our own strength, on our own might. It lies on the Spirit of the living God. if you would look at what Jehoshaphat did, he assembled his people and started marching. Started marching, not in a drum roll or a drum line or something like that. He started marching with a group of people worshiping the God of the heavens. And I want us to catch his friends. In the spiritual realm, there's something powerful that happens in our lives when we start worshiping who God is. I hope and pray that we will not be people who will only praise and worship God during the good times. Just like Jehoshaphat, during the bad time, his first resort is to worship who God is. Ladies and gentlemen, breakthrough is awaiting for you in the act of worship.